Welcome back to Crunch Time. It's time for the Crunch Exchange, brought to you by the Josh Cooley team of Keller Williams Realty. Alex presents the prospectus. Steve lets us know if he's buying, selling, or if it's pending. Sell your home worry-free with Josh Cooley, Keller Williams Realty.
Ding, ding, ding. It's time to buy or sell stuff. It is time for the Crunch Exchange. I'm going to give Steve some stories, some issues. I'm going to give him a prospectus from those, and he's going to tell us if he's buying or selling or if they're pending.
Pending.
Let us begin with the last topic you were talking about before we went to break, Yao Ming. It's funny. You started talking about it, and I'm like, stop talking about it. Anyway, Yao Ming has been voted into the Naismith Hall of Fame. There was once a time in the NBA when Yao was looked at as kind of a gimmick. Very tall, somewhat talented, but he was basically seen as a guy who David Stern was using to, very successfully, by the way, integrate the NBA into the Chinese market, which is fine and good. No problem there. But his game wasn't exactly looked at as elite until he got going. Yao was never a first-team All-NBA player, but he was an eight-time All-Star in his eight seasons in the league. And his last season, he only played five games and was still voted in. That should tell you a lot about how he's viewed internationally. Injuries basically plagued most of his career. In fact, he only ended up playing in five of those All-Star games because of it. His numbers were great, 19 points per game, 10 rebounds per game. But in such a small time frame and having only played three full seasons in the league, some could view him as not deserving of enshrinement. The prospectus, Yao Ming should be in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
You know, it's interesting. Basketball is the one Hall of Fame where you have to incorporate more. Guys like Bill Bradley, because of what he did in college, being an Ivy Leaguer, getting that team to the Final Four, what he meant for the game. I think he gets in because of being kind of a contributor slash all-star caliber player. It's kind of outside the box, but I like it, so I'm buying it.
By the way, Yao's wife, also a Chinese national basketball player, Ye Li, their daughter, very, very cute. And they do sit courtside at Houston games.
There you go.
So, Syracuse is shocking literally everyone outside of their locker room in the tournament. Before March, they were viewed as a team on the outside looking in of an opportunity to even be one of the 68 teams involved. Now they've won games over a 7, a 15, an 11, and a 1. Clearly, their most shocking win was their last one over number one seed Virginia. But those other ones, Dayton, Middle Tennessee, Gonzaga, not exactly a murderer's row of top-level teams. That said, they are in the Final Four, and no one on Earth thought they were capable of doing it. Legendary basketball writer Jack McCallum wrote that this is Jim Boeheim's best coaching job in his career. The Orange were 19-13, had just lost five of their last six coming into the tournament. Now they're in the Final Four. Boeheim won a title with Mello and Jerry McNamara in 2002-03. He was actually suspended for 9 games this season due to academic misconduct with his teams. But all that said, he has coached them up in March, no question. The prospectus, this is Jim Boeheim's best coaching job of his career.
Well, first of all, without Ralph Sampson, everybody knows Virginia's going to choke.
Everybody knows that.
So getting the, I thought getting the 96 team into the final game taking on Kentucky was a good job. But considering, you know, it's like you don't want to give him credit because he was suspended, but getting in and then getting the 10 seed and the ACC obviously was a powerhouse. So I don't know, based on the resume you just presented, how you can convince a jury that it wasn't his best coaching job. So based on that, I'm going to buy it.
I mean, he did win a national title, so I don't know. Anyway, the big story of the day revolves around the Lakers and their top pick, D'Angelo Russell, breaking the bro code when he secretly videotaped Swaggy P bragging about cheating on Iggy Azalea and posting it on Snapchat. For those who don't know, Snapchat, a video posting app that lets you post video for a short time before it gets deleted. Fortunately for Russell, someone essentially recorded the video, sent it to two friends, who sent it to two friends, Who sent it to TMZ? Forget bro code. This violates human being code. Secret videotaping of any kind. You gotta go, friend. This apparently had at least something to do with the Lakers' 48-point loss to Utah. Now the locker room is reportedly shattered. People don't want to play with Russell anymore. They basically don't want to be around him. Anyone else, and you'd think the Lakers would probably cut them or trade them, but this is the second pick in the NBA draft from last season, averaging 13 points, 3 boards, 3 assists per game. So the Lakers are faced with a tough decision: complete rebuild around an untrustworthy player, or try to move him and work with what you have. The prospectus: the Lakers should try to move D'Angelo Russell.
You know what? I saw this guy play, and sometimes those guys were comparing him to like the Facebook stock. Everybody was excited about it. It came out of the IPO at 35. Then after about a year, it was down to about 18, but you saw the capability. If you think he is a guy who could bring you back to the top of the Western Conference, making a stupid mistake like this at 19, you got to get over it. So what was the prospectus again?
The Lakers should try to move D'Angelo
Russell. I'm selling that. Not yet. Not after a year.
How's about some hockey? The only time we've talked about it this year has revolved around the Blackhawks in some sort of scandal. First, it was Patrick Kane's alleged rape cover-up. Now it's Duncan Keith, and there is nothing alleged about Duncan Keith. He blatantly took a stick to the face of the Wild's Charlie Coyle while laying on his back. Keith got a match penalty for intent to injure. Yeah, I'd say slashing to someone's face is an intent to injure. He has been suspended indefinitely by the NHL as they review the case. There isn't much time left in the regular season. Blackhawks have 5 games, then the playoffs, where they're currently slated to play St. Louis. This is Keith's second suspension for slashing of a face, as he did it once before in the 2013 playoffs, but he's not ruled a repeat offender under the NHL's rules. But even if he were, that only affects fines and not suspension. Some have said 5 games sounds right. Others suggest he should be suspended into the playoffs and beyond. The prospectus: Duncan Keith deserves to be suspended for the playoff series as well.
They should decide what the proper amount of games is, and if it happens to eat into a playoff series or not, so be it. So I think I'm technically buying, because we haven't established a number. I'm saying they don't need to decide regular season or playoffs. Decide what the punishment is. 15, 20 games, and as the coach, captain of the reigning cup champs, he should actually get 3 more games for being an idiot, so I'm buying it.
Chris Paul told the media that he plans to pull out of the Rio Olympics, which allows us to revisit a topic we discussed a few months ago, and that is Damian Lillard and his attempts to join the squad. Dame has been a part of Team USA camps for the last 3 years, but has yet to make the actual team, and here's the reason. Russell Westbrook, Steph Curry, Mike Conley, John Wall, Kyrie Irving, and yes, Chris Paul. They're kind of good, and they all play guard. Paul would have joined LeBron and Melo in their attempts to become the only U.S. men's hoopsters ever to win gold in 3 Olympics, but he said his body's telling him it's time to relax a little bit. Now that he's out, does that mean it's Lillard time this summer? Prospectus: Damian Lillard should be a member of Team USA now that Chris Paul is out.
If I were a Blazer fan, I'd be screaming from the rooftops, no, I don't want my NBA guys in the Olympics. I don't make the rules. I know how Blazer fans feel. So I think at this point, that's kind of an easy buy. If I rooted for a team who was good, and we know that's just impossible, I'd be like, don't you go near the Olympics. You rest this summer, dude. We got crap to do next autumn.
By the way, Melo said he's all the way on board so he can finally be part of a winning team.
Yeah.
He actually said that.
And I actually believe it.
Yep.